idle poor become the idle rich. You'll never know just who is who or who is which. Won't it be rich when everyone's poor relative becomes a Rockefeller-tive and palms no longer itch? What a switch!
When we all have earned it and plastic too, how will we determine who's who underneath?
And when all your neighbors are upper class, you won't know your Joneses from your Astors. Let's toast the day we drink that drinky up, but with the little pinky up, the day on which the idle poor become the idle rich.
When a rich man doesn't want to work, he's a bon vivant. Yes, he's a bon vivant. But when a poor man doesn't want to work, he's a loafer, he's a lounger, he's a lazy good for nothing.
He's a jerk. When a rich man loses on a horse, isn't he the sport? Oh, isn't he the sport? But when a poor man loses on a horse, he's a gambler, he's a spender, he's a lowlife, he's a reason for divorce. When a rich man chases after dames, he's a man about town. Oh yes, a man about town. But when a poor man chases after dames, he's a bounder, he's a rounder, he's a rotter, and a lot of dirty names. The idle poor become the idle rich. You'll never know just who is who or who is which. No one will see the Irish or the Slav in you, for when you're on Park Avenue, Cornelius and Mike look alike. When poor Tweedledum is rich Tweedledee, this discrimination will no longer be. When we're in the dough and off of the nut, you won't know your banker from your butler.
Come on, Finian.
Come on, Finian. Yes, Finian.
Yeah, Finian.
With just a few annuities, we'll hide those incongruities in quotes from Abercrombie Fitch.
And staging the musical and dance numbers for a movie, you're staging it for that camera. Do you place the camera at any time?
Well, I advise them where I think it should be, and if it's too high or too low or something, when I look at a dance and I'm doing in the mirror, I always work before a mirror, and then I take it away, take the mirror away, because if you get used to working in front of a mirror and you suddenly haven't got it, you're lost. You understand what I mean? I don't know if anybody's ever said that before.
Explain it a little more.
Well, you rehearse in front of a mirror,
yeah.
And you automatically see what you look like, and you more or less like it, or you wouldn't be leaving it that way. You say, well, that's all right, looks fine, that's so and so, and you work. If you're working with a girl or alone or with anything at all, you look in the mirror. You visualize the way you'd like to have it photographed. Then, this is just technically the reason I'm saying this is you get used to working in front of the mirror, and rather than sort of say, well, we're going to shoot this without working away from the mirror, it takes you a time to get used to not having a mirror in front of you, because you automatically watch and you see and you look at yourself and you say, well, you know what step is coming next, because you see yourself doing it. But if you don't see yourself doing it, sometimes it's a mental thing, you know. Mm-hmm. So I always remove the mirror, cover it up or something, at least a good week or two before I shoot a number. Mm-hmm. And get rid of the mirror as soon as I can, actually, so they get used to not depending upon it to tell me where I'm going.
With film, it's like is that stop and start medium. You know, you do a scene, they stop, they move the camera. Does that affect you in the dances, or do you just go through all the way?
Doing a long number in one piece is really not necessary, and it's very effective in pictures to cut at right places. I mean, sometimes you can cut very quickly and with short intervals, at short intervals, or it's according to what the thing is. It usually, if you have a very difficult trick to do, it's photographically and lighting and so forth, it causes, if you run from one end of the room to the other and you want to, I don't know, catch somebody like falling into your arms or something, you might want that in the separate piece so you can photograph it properly. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I had one thing, I know with Sid Charisse, I had to catch her from, she jumped off of a platform that was probably 6 or 8 feet up there, and coming down at me, and I had to catch it. I said, well, we're going to take this on a separate piece because maybe I'm going to drop her or something. But we got so that when you're rehearsing, you can do all these things because it's a part of the rehearsal to do the whole thing all through mm-hmm. in one piece. But when you photograph it, you want to get the best possible angle on it, and also it's exhausting to do a whole thing over and over for camera. Sometimes you go through over and over in a number, and find one of the reasons is that the light went out in the back someplace, or the cameraman says, oh, my camera bobbled, or something happened, and so then you waste a whole lot of energy that's never, and physical energy, you know, you spend a little too much energy. So the thing to do to avoid that often is to pick up a tough camera move from another. It's difficult for him to get in to get you. I mean.